welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that provides you with content related to the queer community. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and tonight I'm joined in the studio by three founders of the Transformative Freedom Fund, a project that seeks to remove financial barriers to transition-related healthcare for transgender individuals. This organization, which is in its formative stage, is the passion project of Marvin Allen, Rachel Kessley, and Anaya Robinson, who care deeply about providing trans individuals access to healthcare that will allow them to live their truth, regardless of their financial background. Well, Marvin, Rachel, and Anaya, thanks so much for joining the show tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Could you start, I'll just have each of you introduce yourselves a bit for our listeners, and in particular, touch on how you each came to be involved with the Transformative Freedom Fund. Marvin, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm Marvin Allen, and I've been friends with Anaya for a while and friends with Rachel for a little while now. And I'm transgender, and I was fortunate enough to have access to healthcare and to have access to the ability to change things like my vital records, like my ID, my passport, and it was actually one night Anaya and I were celebrating me changing my gender marker on my driver's license, and Anaya mentioned that this is something he always wanted to do, and it was definitely something I always wanted to do, and then now it's happening, like, for real.
Rachel?
Hi, my name is Rachel Kessley. I am a fierce ally for the trans community. I have known Anaya now for a long time, getting to know Marv, and have known him for a little bit too. And seeing my friends go through trying to be their most authentic selves and having trouble with that has always not set well with me. And these folks also asked me to be a part of this amazing organization, and the only answer was yes, so that I could, you know, help bring people's authenticity to life without having to worry as much about it as they probably do.
Hey, I'm Anaya. I am also trans. I think I spent a lot of my life knowing that somehow, and managed to get to almost 30 before I really allowed myself to live in that, and had a great deal of privilege and access to a certain amount of wealth and definitely healthcare from my employer that allowed me to medically transition very quickly and very easily, and had a lot of support within my community to be able to do that as well. And really the impetus of me wanting to do this work is to allow all trans folks to have that same access, which really is ridiculous. Like, healthcare is absolutely a human right, and living our authentic lives and our authentic truths is a human right. And the fact that we create barriers systemically to deny people that right is terrible. And allowing the three of us to utilize our privilege to help kind of break down some of those barriers for other folks is work that I really strongly believe in, and don't really know at this point in my life, understanding my privilege and understanding my identities, I don't know that I could fully respect myself if I weren't doing some kind of work to help other people get to the same place that I was able to get to.
So we're kind of talking around this, but just for the benefit of our listeners, Marv, do you want to give a quick overview of what Transformative Freedom Fund is about, like what the mission is and what specifically the organization's aim is?
Yeah, our mission is to remove those financial barriers that Anaya was talking about, to remove those financial barriers for folks who are underinsured or uninsured in Colorado who can't afford things like hormones, surgeries, labs, all of these transition-related healthcare costs that for many folks might often be a decision between paying certain bills or getting groceries or getting their hormones for that month. And we definitely don't want that to be a decision that people have to make. And so our purpose is to remove those barriers for as many people as possible. And so we have some lofty goals of funds to raise so that we're able to grant more and more folks money so that they can have these necessary procedures or treatments.
Can you give us a rundown of what is actually involved in terms of navigating the healthcare system when we're talking about when transition related procedures and you know, this is for Marv or Anaya in your own personal experience?
In my experience, it involved me. I have health insurance through my employer. And so I was fortunate and privileged to have that. And so it involved me going to a psychologist who could diagnose me with having gender dysphoria. So then I could take that letter to my first step was surgery. At the time that I had top surgery, I didn't know then or I didn't yet feel the need for testosterone or want to undergo hormone replacement therapy, but I knew I wanted and needed top surgery. And then I took that letter to a surgeon and luckily was able to get it. And then I went back to that same psychologist to get a letter for hormones and then took that to get hormones. And the truth is, I mean, there's a few steps in there, but I had a pretty easy process. Like the day that I went to see my endocrinologist about hormones, I was able to get hormones that day and take them home. So I had a pretty easy process once my healthcare had to be covered. Before that, for years, I had needed top surgery and just extreme gender dysphoria around it. But I knew I couldn't afford it because we're talking for female to male top surgery out of pocket, we're talking $7,000 to $10,000. And there's a lot less travel now today than was necessary even a few years back because more and more surgeons are offering it, even here in Denver and Boulder, like all around Colorado. But, you know, a few years back, it was still just a few folks around the nation that could offer these surgeries. And so then there were also travel costs and stuff. So it was unaffordable to me until I was able to access it with the laws changing in Colorado and requiring insurance companies to cover it.
Right. So each of these steps and stages that you're talking about, appointments, I mean, each of these is a cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then I appreciate you bringing up not just the medical bill cost, but the time, the travel, all the costs associated with that, where at the end of the day, we're talking about really astronomical prices as a barrier to, for some people, living out their truth, as you all talk about.
Yeah.
Anaya, did you want to add anything? Did you have a similar experience in navigating the healthcare system and the expenses that you encountered?
Yeah, I think I had a fairly similar experience. And I think understanding that I had the ability to access the healthcare really helped push me into the realization that I was trans and helped me figure out that space that I was living in. I think before that, the idea of not having access really hindered me from even diving into that part of myself. And I think a lot of the same situations with Marv as far as the ease of accessing healthcare for my transition. I think a little bit of a difference for me was that I, instead of having top surgery, I had a mastectomy. So I have family history of breast cancer, which had a lot of trauma and tragedy in my life around that. But also now with transitioning kind of brought a certain level of privilege, because getting a mastectomy instead of top surgery with family history, my insurance approved my surgery within 24 hours and it was fully covered.
So you didn't have to make an appointment with a therapist or a psychologist, like these extra steps?
Not for that. I did have to get a letter from my therapist for hormones, but not for surgery. So that was a relieving step that I didn't have to take through that process. I think the other process too, the other part of this too, is that talking about the financial aspect of all of it and the trauma that can bring up for folks in not having the funds to access the care that they need is not something that anybody should ever have to go through, right? And then we look at the other aspect of having to get a letter, like having to get a diagnosis from a therapist to even try to access the healthcare that you might not even be able to afford is just another layer of trauma that trans folks have to experience that is so unnecessary. Like we don't need medical professionals or therapists or counselors telling us who we know we are, right? So any relief that we can give to those experiences to folks is so important. I think another thing too, especially with hormone replacement therapy, is an understanding that we're not just paying for hormones on a consistent basis for most of us literally the rest of our lives, right? We are also paying for office visits, blood panels, because we have to check our hormone levels, we have to check our liver functions, and those costs, especially if you're uninsured, paying for a blood panel is so unattainable for so many folks. And then thinking about the fact that in 2011, which I know was a long time ago, but one of the last studies done on trans folks' ability to attain wealth, one in four trans folks made under $10,000 a year. So if you're making under $10,000 a year, there's a solid chance that you're probably not insured in a way that is very supportive, if at all. And I think that in a lot of cases, when we think about transition-related healthcare for the trans community, we think about surgery, we think about hormones. And nobody ever thinks about the additional costs that come into sustaining that availability of care.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and I'm talking with the founders of the Transformative Freedom Fund, Anaya Robinson, Rachel Kessley, and Marvin Allen. The Transformative Freedom Fund seeks to ensure that healthcare costs associated with transitioning are not a barrier to transgender individuals living their truth. Rachel, what has been your experience engaging in this work specifically through this organization and building this special thing that's addressing these issues?
Yeah, I mean, my experience thus far is not knowing necessarily how to show up, but only knowing that I do need to show up. And I think that's the most important part, is once you start those conversations, you can then support the folks around you. You know, I've had my own hardships through my life, but basically through realizing who I am as I grow, and also knowing that I don't have that kind of speed bump or barrier in front of me, helping break down those walls is really, really important for me, because I am coming from that place of having a bit more of a privilege, and using that voice in positive ways is the absolute most important to me about what we're doing.
Right, and it sounds like the Transformative Freedom Fund in large part is seeking to do that engagement, that this is about engaging people outside of the trans community in this issue and increasing visibility. I mean, would you say is that another kind of important facet, or how has that factored into the work so far that you've been doing?
I think we're all about community. You know, knowing Anaya and Marv and myself, it's all about creating that village. That community building part is always and has always kind of been there. You know, our fundraiser is called, you know, Opening Doors to Authenticity. And that in and of itself, it creates community around it. And without that community and without that support, people feel lost. And that is exactly what we're trying not to have, is people feeling like they don't have that community.
And I think, too, we don't create change ever from one place, right? We need our communities to be building that and creating change, but we also need the broader community to come in and support us in work to break down walls of oppression and fight systems and change systems so that they are inclusive and supportive and respecting the rights of every human, right? There is no way that we can ever get this work done if we're not working in an inclusive and intersectional manner. So building that community within our own transgender community, and also bringing in allies and bringing in support and creating visibility, is the only way that we change anything.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about this change piece, and I have to imagine that with such a large issue as dealing with the healthcare system, that we've talked about kind of a small slice of that, and that another big part of this conversation probably has to involve the system itself, the institution. I mean, is that on your radar in terms of addressing some of these systemic issues, like, you know, for example, getting some of these transition-related procedures covered under healthcare plans, which often is an uphill battle in and of itself? You know, are those things on your radar, or are you kind of really trying to focus on that more immediate economic need of folks that are needing financial support?
For the mission of the organization, it is really focused on that financial need and how to remove those barriers that currently exist. But I think we all have a personal agenda in our personal lives to create change. You know, we think about big systems, but the change could be, you know, something small, like for the viewers listening, if you have someone who's coming out in your family, or if you're a teacher or someone who works in a school and you work with a trans youth or anyone that you might come across who is struggling with their gender identity or struggling to have their to live their true authentic selves, already knowing their gender identity, just providing that love and support, even on that personal level, because it is really big. It is about social policy and law, but it's also about, you know, us supporting one another. And I think that that's the grassroots spirit of it all.
It seems as though healthcare and insurance industries, and perhaps the public at large, tend to really trivialize what we're talking about here, trivializing those medical procedures as cosmetic. You know, for example, can you speak a little to more specifically what it means to not be able to go through these transition related procedures for someone who has already decided that that's what they want and that's right for them, or what the experience is like finally being able to undergo those procedures?
I mean if we look at it numbers wise, right, like statistically, the trans community has one of the highest rates of suicide attempts and suicide of any community. And I think a lot of that is related to knowing your truth, but not being able to live your truth. And so much of that can get tied into not being able to access transition-related healthcare. There are also a lot of trans folks who live in this world and live their authentic selves fully without medically transitioning. And I think for those of us who identify as trans and want to and need to medically transition for safety, for visibility, and the safety that comes with that in being able to use the pronouns that we need to feel ourselves and to feel respected by others, it is so much easier to do that when others view us in the way that we view ourselves and know ourselves to be. So I think that the work that we are intending to do feels so important because we are allowing folks to feel like they are themselves and to understand that they have a right to be viewed in this world as the person that they are. And I think removing the obstacles to getting to that space really helps strengthen individuals, strengthen the community, and strengthen society as a whole. Like, when we have people in this world who feel fully themselves, we contribute more, we love more, and we can be the best versions of ourselves that we can be, and that puts so much more out into the world, and that makes every part of every community a better space.
I can imagine our listeners thinking, okay, I have to do something about this. I hope our listeners are thinking that, because I think you really touched on, you know, this is an issue on so many levels, and I think the most important one is a human level. Rachel, you mentioned a fundraiser coming up. So what can people do to support the Transformative Freedom Fund, and in particular, you know, do something about this issue?
So yeah, there are a few things that people can do. One is go to our donation page on transformativefreedomfund.org, as well as our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook, Transformative Freedom Fund, as well. Tickets for our Opening Doors to Authenticity, which is going to be held at the Space Gallery on August 31st. are also for sale both on the website and on Facebook. Those are the major things that we have right now, as well as getting donations for our silent auction for August 31st. So if you have a business or you know folks who, you know, can give in that kind of way, that is something that you can get in touch with us as well. And then going forward into the fall and early next year, we'll have a variety of different fundraising events, happy hours, in and around the greater Denver area, mostly concentrated in Denver right now. But check us out at transformativefreedomfund.org. That is going to be the best way for us to relay information and to gain donations in whatever way that feels good.
As we wrap up tonight, I can imagine that engaging in this work with the Transformative Freedom Fund can be daunting and draining, especially as we're talking about these astronomical costs, the systemic issues within the healthcare system. Where do you find sources of hope and of energy in engaging in this work and in moving forward?
For me, I would say a lot from these folks here today. I'm a social worker by day, so I do it. I do what I love, helping people, and this is definitely an extension of that. But, you know, I've had other outside work activities that really did feel draining and didn't re-energize me the same way that Transformative Freedom Fund does. We all work, you know, more than 40 hours a week, and then we still meet at least once a week to plan the organization and plan the fundraiser. But in that, you know, we also just meet a lot of incredible people that want to help and they want to give, and they're so loving and they're so supportive, and it makes me think a lot about how can I show up for other communities and with that same, you know, fierceness and that same willingness to fight and to work so hard alongside other communities. So it's really inspiring, and I would say, you know, in sum, it gives a lot more back than what it takes.
I think I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, the three of us have been meeting at least once a week for the last 6 months. And that in and of itself, just coming together, working for a common goal to do a greater good, actually energizes me more than it takes away. You know, like Marv said, I mean, we all work a lot, and, you know, trying to carve out that time isn't ever a burden for me. And then sharing that mission, especially with each of our own personal communities and families and friends, and feeling that love and immediate response back, is mind-blowing and heartwarming.
Yeah, I think it is absolutely, like, when we look at the cost and we look at what we're trying to do, right, it is so daunting to think that three of us can start this thing that really we need to raise more money than probably any of us collectively have ever had or seen or know, right, to be able to do the work that we are going to be doing. And that's hard to figure out. And it's some days it's like, why did we decide to do this? And then every time I have that thought, almost immediately after, when I'm talking about the Transformative Freedom Fund, the only reaction I have ever gotten from anybody is support and love. I have never once had anybody say anything negative about this work that we are trying to do. We haven't come across that. And we talk to people about this constantly, right? It's so amazing to me and so empowering to me, and gives me so much more energy to understand that there are so many folks out there who believe in what we're doing, regardless of their gender identity or their other identities. We have felt so much support through this work, and I think that is really what keeps us going.
You've been listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm Sean Kenny, and I've been speaking with Rachel Kesley, Marvin Allen, and Anaya Robinson, three founders of the Transformative Freedom Fund. Well, Marv, Anaya, and Rachel, thanks so much for joining the show tonight.
Thank you so much.
For more information about the Transformative Freedom Fund and how you can support this organization, go online to our website at news.kgnu.org and click on Outsources under the Shows and Features tab. As always, let us know if you have comments or feedback about tonight's show by emailing outsources@kgnu.org. You're listening to Outsources on KGNU, and we'd like to wrap up this week's episode with a look at events happening in the LGBTQ community in Boulder, Denver, and beyond. As we mentioned earlier in the show, the Transformative Freedom Fund will be holding its launch fundraising event this Thursday, August 31st, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Space Gallery in Denver. For more information on the event, including how to get tickets, go to www.transformativefreedomfund.org. And Boulder Pride Week is coming up next week, from September 5th through the 10th. The week of festivities and events will include a film screening, seminars, a 5K race, and a visibility march. Visit www.outboulder.org for more information. And if you have news or events relevant to the LGBTQ community that you'd like us to share in Outsources, or if you have questions or comments about tonight's program, please email outsources@kgnu.org. Join us next week, Monday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of Outsources, bringing you homegrown queer radio in the state of Colorado. That's Monday, 6:30 p.m. right here on KGNU, or listen anytime after the broadcast at kgnu.org/outsources. I'm Sean Kenny, and you've been listening to Outsources, KGNU, Boulder, Denver.